All right, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Come this morning to the 17th of 18 miracles that are recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark. And the account that we have here that I read to you a moment ago is contained also in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. We've noticed that that's true in many of the Gospels, that in many of the passages that we've had in the Gospel of Mark, that you can find the same thing referred to in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, often with some difference. Matthew and Luke neither mention Bartimaeus by name. And Matthew says that at the time that Bartimaeus received his sight, there was another blind man who was given sight at the same time. Luke tells us that Bartimaeus, after he received his sight, followed the Lord, glorifying him. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So we have the record of Matthew, and you'll find it. If you have marginal references in your Bible, you can probably see this, that Matthew's account is given in Matthew chapter 20. And Luke's account is given in Luke chapter 18. And so we have this threefold testimony to the fact that this did take place. And so I'd remind you this morning that we're not talking about a parable, or we're not talking about just a story that somebody made up. This is actual history of what took place. And if people don't want to believe this, nothing will convince them that the Lord performed this or any other miracle, but it's important for us to see that the evidence is overwhelming that the Lord was the greatest miracle worker who ever lived upon the face of the earth. When the Pharisee, or he was then a Pharisee, Nicodemus, who's familiar to us from John chapter 3, came to the Lord. He told the Lord that it was his miracles that caused him to come. Now, he'd been impressed apparently by his teaching also, but he was impressed by the miracles. And what he said to the Lord was this: Rabbi, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He wasn't prepared to recognize that the Lord was, as Will was telling us in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the Son of God. But he came to the Lord because of what he had heard, and especially because of the miracles that he performed. He knew that these were miracles, that real miracles that had been performed. Even Pilate, when Pilate sent our Lord to Herod after the Lord had been arrested, Luke tells us, and when Herod saw Jesus, now remember, this was the head of the Roman government there in the land of Israel, in one part of the land of Israel. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. So here's a man who wasn't a follower of the Lord Jesus at all, but he believed that the Lord was performing miracles. Now, believing that the Lord performed miracles has never been a problem to me, I guess because I learned a lot of these things when I was a child. But many people are skeptical about what's said about the miracles of our Lord in the gospel. I point out these few details to show you that not only our Lord's disciples, but even among those who hated him, there was no question but that he was continually performing miracles, hundreds of them, far more than are recorded for us in the New Testament. And it included not only physical healings, but it included stilling of storms. It included feeding thousands of people when the Lord had just a few loaves and a few fish to work with. I believe that the Lord could have fed those huge crowds of men, women, and children if he'd had nothing to work with. He created the whole universe out of nothing, didn't he? Nothing to work with, and so it would have been nothing for him to provide food for thousands of people, even without, as it was in one case, even without that little boy's lunch. So I approach this morning as a fact of history, and I trust that you'll look at it in the same way. Now, one point of interest about this is where it happened. Just on the outskirts of Jericho. And those of you who have read the Bible know that Jericho was the first place that the children of Israel conquered when they went into the Promised Land. And you remember how they marched around the city once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they walked around seven times, and trumpets blew, and the people shouted, and the walls of Jericho came down, and the Israelites were able to go in and conquer the city. Find that story in Joshua chapter 6, in the sixth book of the Old Testament, and the sixth chapter. But you want to find, you'll find if you read the whole chapter of Joshua, that Joshua warned the people at that time that the one who would rebuild that city would be under the judgment of God. He would be under the curse of God. However, as you read through the Old Testament and come to 1 Kings, which we completed not too long ago in our daily Bible reading, 1 Kings 16:34, which was, it's hard to say exactly, 600 or 700 years after the children of Israel conquered the city of Jericho, we're told that in the days when Elijah was the prophet and Ahab was the king of Israel, says, in his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. That is, in violation of that word, they rebuilt the city. Now, the scriptures don't follow through to deal with Jericho more in detail, but we know that it was a city built under the curse of God, and that it was a city in existence when the Lord Jesus was here on earth. And the fact that this is announced by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who tell us about this blind man who was apparently living in Jericho, and that he had positioned himself on the road which led from Jericho to Jerusalem. It would have been a heavily traveled load, people walking both directions all through the day, where Bartimaeus would have been able to appeal for help from those who passed by, either going to Jerusalem or having come back from Jerusalem. But here was a man who was under a real curse himself. He was a blind man. And we know that the city itself was under a curse, though it's amazing at the patience of God when people violate his will. If the Lord acted immediately in every case, why, there probably wouldn't be many people on the face of the earth. But the Lord was on his way to Jerusalem. He'd been talking to his disciples about his coming trial and death and how he would be treated by the authorities in Jerusalem. And we have to say that it was providential. It wasn't just an accident. It wasn't just something that happened. But it was providential that the Lord and Bartimaeus were on the same road on that day at the same time. Now let's think a moment. We're not told a great deal about Bartimaeus, but I want to examine what is told us about this man. We're told that his name was Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. Bar is Aramaic for son, and Timaeus may have come from the Greek. It means an honorable one. There have been many attempts to make something out of Bartimaeus's name, some explaining that his father may have been a believer. We don't know that. Others say some prominent person. But these are mere guesses, and it's apparent from the text that our attention needs to be focused on Bartimaeus, not upon his father, and not upon other things that we might be interested in. I think I'm going to talk to Matthew, Mark, and Luke and ask them why they weren't a little bit more specific and gave why they didn't give us more details. But I'm not going to do that because they say we only wrote what the Holy Spirit directed us to write, so you can't argue with that. It appears from Mark's account of this miracle that while Bartimaeus' parents had given him that name, at the time that he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he had become well known as blind Bartimaeus. Now, isn't that what our text seems to indicate? They went to Jericho, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So it wasn't that people just spoke of him as Bartimaeus because evidently they were familiar with him being out there standing and begging and getting whatever people would be pleased to give him. But if strangers saw him begging and would ask residents of that area who that man was, they probably would respond by saying, "Oh, that's blind Bartimaeus." It would seem to indicate that he'd been in that part of the country a long time, and the people were referring to him would call him not just Bartimaeus, but blind Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. Now, we don't know if he was born blind or if he had been afflicted with blindness sometime after his birth. We know that blindness was very common in those days. The Bible doesn't say, but his name, blind Bartimaeus, would seem to indicate that he had been blind for quite some time. Blindness is a terrible affliction, isn't it? Very common, as I've said, when the Lord was here. In fact, sicknesses prevailed. It would have shocked us, I'm sure, to walk through the streets of any city in those days and see how many people were hopelessly ill because there were just few ways that they could be helped. People didn't live as long then, during that time, as they do now. But blindness is still a major problem in our own country today. But it was even worse in those days. Doesn't seem that Bartimaeus was blind as a result of his own personal sin, because the Lord often in healing a person would tell them to go and sin no more, indicating that the affliction that they had was due to their sin. But you don't have that in his dealings with blind Bartimaeus. So there's much about his case that we just don't know, because Scripture just simply tells us that he was blind. Blind Bartimaeus. We're not told how long he had been blind, in case it had happened to him later on. We don't know how old he was. We just know that he was blind. That's what the Spirit of God wants us to focus on. He could not have been a man of means, because he was out there on the roadside begging. People were accustomed to see him there. Maybe he was old enough so that his parents were no longer living. We don't know that he must not have had relatives who would take care of him. He was a totally hopeless case as far as his physical condition was concerned. Whether Matthew and Luke even knew his name, we can't say, because they don't tell us the blind man that they're talking about. But somehow, even though there were many people following the Lord, and there must have been many people on the road who were not traveling with the Lord, somehow blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Blind people often have sharpened abilities in other ways. So immediately Mark tells us that he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Mark tells us that many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now, that's a polite way of telling him to be quiet, to shut up. Who did he think he was to call upon Jesus to have mercy upon him? But the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he said it. And if we had the number of times that he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," or just simply as he has said the second time, "Son of David, have mercy on me," maybe it would fill a page of the Bible if we had all the instances. But could I use the word frantic? He was very, very intense on having the Lord know of his need. And so he cried out until everybody was hearing what he was saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." So though Mark just mentions it twice, that Bartimaeus is saying this, we can be sure that he was saying it over and over again, and perhaps every time he said it louder, because there was a possibility that in the crowd the Lord would go on by and not pay attention to him. Now this is where we need to stop and think for just a moment about what Bartimaeus was saying. Do you understand what Bartimaeus was saying when he called the Lord Son of David? Now, in the 12th chapter of Mark, and in verses 35 through 37, I want to read a short section there. Now, of course, as it is indicated in the position it's in the gospel, this happened after the incident regarding blind Bartimaeus. But in Mark 12 and verse 35, we read, "Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, 'How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David?' For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, that is, it's in Scripture, so in Psalm 110, your margin will tell you, David said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemy thy footstool." Now, if you look at the two times the word Lord appears in this verse, you'll notice that one is all capitals and the other is a capital L with a smaller case O-R-D. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool, means that the Father said to the Son, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David, therefore, himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So here is the Lord quoting Psalm 110 and deals with this very thing, this very truth that blind Bartimaeus had come to understand regarding Jesus of Nazareth, that he was the son of David. Now, I won't ask you to turn to this, but if you look at the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter in the New Testament, you'll notice how Matthew started, verse 1. He called Jesus Christ the son of David, the son of Abraham. And this title, Son of David, therefore, became one of the titles of our Lord as the Messiah, as the Christ. Remember, Messiah comes from the Hebrew and Christ comes from the Greek, but they mean exactly the same thing, the anointed one of God. The book of Romans in the New Testament begins this way. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now listen. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, he was the Son of David in the flesh. He was the Son of God from all eternity. And he became the Son of David without in any sense ceasing to be the Son of God. Of course, this is what one reason the Jews hated him, because he claimed that God was his Father, claimed that God was his Son. Now, from all this, I hope that you'll get the point that blind Bartimaeus was saying when he cried out again and again and louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And we can see immediately that he may have been blind physically, but he was not blind spiritually. He understood truth about Jesus Christ that the people on the road didn't understand. He may not have been able to see the Lord as he walked by, but he knew in his heart who Jesus was. He knew that he was the Messiah. He knew that Jesus could make him see, because he knew that Jesus, the Son of God, was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David was the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, this is what the Apostle John said was the main purpose of the miracles. Obviously, blind Bartimaeus had heard of the miracles that the Lord had performed, and he was convinced that the Lord could open his physical eyes so that he would be able to see the Lord in the flesh. Now, In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we had those last two verses of John chapter 20, where John tells us why he wrote the gospel. And he says, reading verse 30, many other signs, and the word signs is the word that's used in the gospel of John for miracles. It is they were performed with an additional purpose other than healing people or raising the dead or any of the things that the Lord did. These were miraculous works. Many other miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, as you go through the gospel of Mark, I think is 8 to 10 times where you just have a statement of the Lord and his work of healing. We're not told how he healed or what was wrong with the people, but just a lot of those statements, and you find them in Matthew and Luke as well, so that he was busy throughout the days performing miracles. And so John says here at the end of the 20th chapter, many other miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these, that is, these miracles, are written that you might believe that Jesus, the man, is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, putting your trust in him, recognizing who he is and why he came, ye might have life through his name. Now, when blind Bartimaeus caused this uproar, what did Jesus do? Mark tells us that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. There were very, very few apart from the disciples who really recognized the Lord Jesus to be the person that he was. Paul tells us in Corinthians that if the princes of this world had known who he was and what they were actually doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Apostle Paul himself, before he became a Christian, was intent on blotting out the Christians from the face of the earth. But here is a man, blind, who knew who the Lord Jesus was, and I think this must have sounded like music in the ears of the Lord. Now, the Lord, in his omniscience, of course, knew a lot of things that we wouldn't understand. But I love it that here was the racket. The people were saying, be quiet, don't bother the teacher who's going by. But he wouldn't be silent. And so he cried out. The Lord stood still and called for him to come. People who probably had been the very ones who tried to keep blind Bartimaeus quiet, now said to him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Blind Bartimaeus was evidently sitting down, probably weary from being out in the hot sun during the day. But now his strength was suddenly restored. He cast off his outer garment and came to the Lord Jesus. Can you visualize this event and how this all took place? It was another of those amazing scenes that are described for us in the Word of God. The Lord called blind Bartimaeus. He came, but that's not all. The Lord said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now that sounds like a strange question for an omniscient Lord Jesus Christ to ask blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I think if you and I had been there on that occasion, we would have been able to identify him as a blind person, So much so that that word was attached to his name. So why did the Lord ask him that question? The Lord surely knew his need. And why in deep humility Bartimaeus would say over and over again, "Have mercy upon me, have mercy upon me." And this meant that as much as he wanted to receive his sight, and though he knew there were people all around him who had their sight, he didn't deserve for the Lord to do this for him. So that's why I say he cried out in deep humility, "Have mercy upon me." He knew that he didn't deserve any blessing from the Lord, but he knew that our Lord's mercy was the answer to his misery. But can I inject a thought here that's not in Scripture, and I want you to know that this is just my idea. I think it's right, but it's only my idea. I think that at this point, blind Bartimaeus had another very important reason for wanting to be able to see. I think it was that he wanted to see the Lord. Several years ago, I read of a blind Christian. Maybe some of you will remember this. I can't remember who the person was. I think it was one of Our Lady hymn writers who was blind. That she was thankful that she was blind because she knew that when she went to be with the Lord, the first person she would see would be the Lord. You know, we talk a lot about what we're going to do when we get to heaven, people we're going to meet, and that loved ones that have gone before us, and I'm sure we're going to do that too, but I think we're going to be so occupied with the Lord. It may take us a little while to get around to the others. Why would the Lord ask blind Bartimaeus what he could do for him? You know, here's a lesson for our praying. He knows our needs. You can't tell the Lord anything that he doesn't already know. But he loves for us to tell him. He loves for us to come and pour out our hearts before him. And blind Bartimaeus responded very simply and very humbly. He must have been overwhelmed in his heart. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." What did the Lord do? Well, he really didn't do anything. He just spoke. The Lord didn't heal blind people the same way every time, but he just spoke this time, and he said to blind Bartimaeus, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, where does our faith come from? Well, our Bibles tell us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. It tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are not only spiritually blinded when we're born into this world, but we are spiritually deaf too. And one reason that we believe so strongly here at Trinity Bible Church that we need to be reading the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, placing an emphasis on the Scriptures. We give to the Word of God what is given over to a lot of singing and entertainment in a lot of churches. But if people's needs are going to be met, if people are going to realize what salvation is, they need to hear the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is more important than anything I could possibly say about it. And it's through the Word, as some of paraphrase that verse in Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some have paraphrased it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. So our faith comes from the Lord. That helpless, blind beggar sitting by the side of the road was definitely one of God's elect. He received his sight immediately. And remember, the Lord said to him, your faith has made you whole. Go your way. Instead, we read at the end of this wonderful incident, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What a thing, what an experience that must have been for him. How that crowd could have been electrified by this dear man who, though he was blind physically, he was not blind spiritually. And he knew who the Lord Jesus was, and he knew that the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone was the one who was able to meet his need. Now we have a most amazing story here, don't we? Let me say it again. It's a true story. This is not a fairy tale. This is a true story, not a parable. It's about a man who was physically blind, but his spiritual sight was 20/20. As far as I can tell this morning, we all here are able to see. We're able to see each other. We don't need someone to escort us around. And we can thank God for that. Some of us have had surgery on our eyes, and I'm among that number too, where doctor is seeking to help me along that line. I had a check just this last week, and with my glasses, he told me I was 20/20. I was thankful for that. But how is our spiritual vision? How is our spiritual vision? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were just as concerned about our spiritual vision as we are about our physical vision? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why he came into the world? You know why he died and died the horrible death that he died? Pastor Will described part of that for us this morning. It was a terrible thing to behold. By the time the Lord got to the cross, his body was so mangled that Isaiah said you could look at the cross and wonder if that was really a human being hanging there on the cross. Yet behind all that physical suffering, God was making his son an offering for our sin. Sin is a terrible thing. We're surrounded by sin all the time, and it's becoming more brazen and open, and people are boasting about the things that are doing, but it's under the judgment of God, and unless we find the remedy to our sin, we're going to spend eternity in hell because sin is terrible in the sight of God. Paul told the Corinthian believers, the God of this world, who is the devil, has blinded the minds of those who believe not, blinded their minds now, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Why don't people flock into the church to hear the gospel? Because they're spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. And it's only God who can open our ears and open our hearts and cause us to understand why it is that he came and who he was and what his death means to us. How wonderful it would be if those of you this morning, who may be spiritually blind here, who haven't been interested in Christ and haven't been interested in the gospel would turn to the Lord this morning, right where you're seated, and say, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." If what I've been talking about this morning is truth, you know, and you have already cried to the Lord and He saved you, and you know what was in the heart of blind Bartimaeus when he cried out, because you have come to Christ and you have sought that you might receive your sight from Him. And now you're looking forward to that day when we're going to see Him face to face. Tuesday, as we've gone through the first epistle, or going through the first epistle of Peter. Peter was one who saw the Lord, who loved the Lord, walked with the Lord, and made a lot of mistakes, but was greatly used by the Lord. But he wrote to those people who had been saved after the Lord went back to heaven, and he said, "Whom having not seen, ye love. Though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." How can we ever thank Him that in the midst of a world with people who are spiritually blind and they're going after all kinds of religions except for the true Savior, the Lord in His wonderful grace has shown us that the one we need and the only one who can give us spiritual sight and give us eternal life, give us the forgiveness of sins, and assure us that someday we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face as our Lord and Savior, He's the only one who can do that for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I trust that there might be those today who have never really understood the Lord Jesus Christ, never known why He came, didn't know what blind Bartimaeus saw. But God has given us sight, and He'll give sight to those who turn in faith to Him. And the evidence, of course, that we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ is that we follow Him in doing what He wants us to do and living each day for His glory. Let's bow in prayer. Father, what a wonderful story this is, and what wonderful truth there is for us here. Help us all to hear, dear Father, with our hearts. If some of us who know You and know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior have forgotten how amazing it is that You would ever call us to Yourself, that You would change our lives, that You would enable us to understand about Jesus Christ what so many in the people in the world don't understand. Lord, may our hearts be filled with praise and thanksgiving, and may we be looking forward to that wonderful day when we'll see Him face to face, who loved us and gave Himself for us. And if there are those here this morning, Father, who spiritually have been blinded, like we have been, and whose hearing is non-existent as far as the truth is concerned, we pray that the Holy Spirit would enable them to see what they need to see this morning and to hear what they need to hear, that they might come to You, that they might have eternal life. May this wonderful story be used in all of our lives. according to your infinite and eternal purpose. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.